Welcome to Flaunt Performance Podcast, the podcast for the voluptuous runner, where our motto is all bodies are built to run. Go on over to flauntperformance.com and grab your 10 laws of power for voluptuous runners. You can get that for free at flauntperformance.com after the show or during the show, because you're probably on your smartphone and you can do more than one thing at once. Oh my goodness. Like, you probably hear me say, oh my goodness, so often if you listen to this show often. But this woman that is on today's show is a super powered superhero plus size athlete. I mean, what doesn't she do? She is a cross trainer. She's just a bike instructor. She's a triathlete. And when I first saw her picture, when I first went to her website, I was like, oh my God, she is phenomenal. And just listening to her speak makes me want to go run. I feel like I want to go run right now. It's nighttime where I am. It's cold as heck outside, but I want to go running right now just because I just finished listening to her speak. So sit back and relax and listen to Krista Henderson of Born to Reign Athletics. You will be inspired. Welcome to the show, Krista.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
So I was telling you before we started this interview that you are such an inspiration. How did you start Born to Reign?
So I created Born to Reign Athletics out of my experience of, you know, becoming an athlete. You know, it started with me first becoming a triathlete. I did my first triathlon back in 2004. I was did triathlon for a number of years. I had a coach. I earned my own certification in Johnny G spinning. Then for my own knowledge, I earned my CanFit Pro personal trainer certification. And I started coaching people locally. But what I kind of realized was that, you know, one, social media at the time was starting to really blossom and explode. And when I had started doing triathlons, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter or anything like that. And with the rise of social media, it was really an opportunity for me to share my story and let other women know that, you know, you don't have to fix yourself to do anything like athletics, that you have everything you need inside of you, and to help guide them on the way and in their journey of unleashing their own athlete. And so that's why I created Born to Reign Athletics. I wanted a platform that motivated, educated, and celebrated plus-size women unleashing that athlete.
How did you go from just focusing on weight loss to really focusing on making exercise your lifestyle?
For me, it started with a conversation I had at my gym with my fitness director. We were doing my annual fitness test, and I hadn't done a triathlon yet, but I was attending spinning classes regularly. I was working with a personal trainer. I think at this point, I actually had purchased my own bicycle, which I haven't had since I was probably 18, and was riding more outside. And we were doing the annual test, and I was talking about weight loss because that was a big focus for me, or that's where my mind was focused. And he said, Krista, don't worry about the numbers on the scale. He's like, train like an athlete. Think of everything that you're doing as has a purpose to it. And it comes back to your health and your fitness. So when I'm training, I'm thinking about what heart rate zones I need to be in. You know, what's going to help me when I'm out on the race course and I need to get up a hill or I need to surge past people on the course. So everything has a purpose with it. And that's what really shifted me away from focusing on, you know, how many calories I was burning or of anything of that nature, and looking at, you know, the notion of training like an athlete and putting a purpose behind everything that I do with regards to my health.
Training like an athlete is very foreign to people who don't train like athletes. Now, you mentioned the heart rate. What other things do athletes really pay attention to when they're training?
I think it's a combination of, what you're putting in your body, how you're treating your body, and that includes both recovery as well as the actual training, like training in the different zones or building, whether you're building your skill, whether you're building your endurance. But there's also a big mental aspect, and that for me is where I had the most growth. Certainly my fitness and endurance and strength all changed, and it continued to get stronger and stronger year over year. But really the mental shift of thinking like an athlete and one believing that I deserve to be on those race courses, that I belonged at the front of the line, I belonged at the starting line, and I certainly deserved, feeling amazing and calling myself an athlete when I crossed that finish line. I have accomplished the same distance as all the other racers. My pace is different, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I had to put the work in, and I made personal sacrifices by, wanting to focus on my training, making sure I'm prepared, fueling for my races, getting the recovery that I needed. Sometimes you have some sort of injuries, and all those things came into play and allowed me to, do C races, B races, which are sort of leading up to the big event. I always had a big race every year that was the one that I was training for, and I was probably trying to beat the time that I did last year. And when I would go out there and I would do it, and from years 1 to 3, I did this exact same course, and I knocked 20 minutes off my course time the second time I went back. And it's all those small accomplishments that really changed the mindset for myself, and believing that, yes, I deserve to be called and thought of as an athlete.
Have you ever had imposter syndrome in the very beginning when you first started doing your triathlons? Did you ever feel like, I'm not really supposed to be here? What am I doing here? Even after you've done all your training and everything?
No. I think, I don't know, maybe it's because I've got a little bit of a competitiveness within me. I'm not sure. But I think it's a combination of experiences that really built up my confidence. So I had a great coach whom I learned a lot from. I took some courses like the spinning course and the certification course, which improved my knowledge. And therefore, I was able to speak confidently about, why I train the way I do and coach others. But another aspect was also my coach was fantastic in that he didn't look at me as a plus-size woman. He looked at me as a woman who wanted to do triathlon, as simple as that. And I was given all the same opportunities that other athletes that were elite athletes who would come in the top 5 of their age group. I got to do VO2 max testing, lactate threshold testing. I went to training camps. I mean, I took advantage of every opportunity that was given to me, and I went into it feeling like I deserved to be there, and I just did it to the best of my ability of what I can do. And I think all those experiences come together is what really has shaped me into who I am today, both in my athletic world as well as my personal life, the way I approach my career, the way I, even promote Born to Reign Athletics and why it's an important platform for women out there.
How did you even find a trainer like that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the whole scenario of, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. But at my gym, I used to train with another trainer at lunchtime. And we would always hear what was happening in the spinning class upstairs because the music's blaring and he always had great music. I didn't know that I liked techno dance music, but apparently I do. Spinning class, he introduced me to the world of Tiesto and all these guys. So I used to see him go up the stairs and we'd hear his class as we were training. And one day I think maybe my trainer was away on vacation or something, and I went to his spin class, and I just, loved the whole experience, and I just started going into it. And so for that particular year, this was 2004, it just so happened that he was training for his first Ironman that year, and he won a slot at Ironman Canada. And, you know, I would say hi to him and, in class, but it was one day after work, I was at the gym and we were sitting in the lounge area, and I said to him, I'm like, hey, I heard you won your slot for Ironman Canada. Congratulations. He's like, oh, thanks. And I shared with him that I was doing my first super sprint at the end of August. And when I told him that, his eyes like lit up like you would not believe. I mean, to this day, I still get chills thinking about it and talking about it. He was so excited for me. This is a guy who's about to go do one of his biggest athletic accomplishments. But he was so excited for me that he was, you know, he's like, if you need anything, because he belonged to a sister gym, and that sister gym actually had a pool. And he's like, if you need anything, if you need any advice, or you need to come over and swim, let me know. Like, he extended the offer. And I eventually took him up on it, and I went swimming over there. And we just really clicked. And I think part of it was personalities. Obviously, he had an interest in there, and it was just sort of right place, right time. But, you know, he's also a very popular coach and trainer. I don't train with him right now, and it would be very hard for me to get back into his schedule. But so much of it, I think, was just timing and the way that he coached his athletes, and the way that he had so much respect for his athletes of all different shapes, sizes, athletic abilities, and really sort of nurtured me into what it means to live the athletic lifestyle.
How did it feel when you first accepted that you're an athlete?
I think when I first accepted myself as an athlete, I was confident. But what I think I struggled with was that no one else would believe me or see that in me. And so I felt like in the very beginning, I was constantly trying to like prove to others that I was confident and capable. And a big part of it was going and auditioning for a big part of it was auditioning for spinning classes as an instructor for those classes. Sometimes you can walk in and you can just tell by people's body language and the way they kind of like look up and down you, they're kind of thinking, you can't possibly do this. And then, you know, I would do my performance and it was great and they liked it, but you know, for whatever reason, I didn't get every job, but I did get hired by a couple of gyms. So, and I taught there for, you know, over a year at those gyms. And so it wasn't so much what I thought of myself. I guess I just wanted people to accept me and what I can bring to the table and how I can be a game changer in their gym, or I can help them make some changes in their life with regards to how they view themselves and their potential, and that you don't have to fix yourself in order to unleash that inner athlete, that who you are today is enough. If there are goals that you have where you want to make improvements, that's fine, but it's not contingent on even doing prefixes before that. I hope that makes sense.
That makes total sense, because I think, you know, most of our listeners are plus size runners, athletes. And the thing is, we've been groomed to think that we have to fix ourselves. It's like you have a maid coming over to clean your house and you, yeah. Oh Lord, I have to clean my house before the maid gets here. But that's what you paid the maid for. So yeah, we've been groomed to think that we have to fix ourselves before we go into the gym or before we take on a sport. So I totally understand where you're coming from. But how did you come to that understanding that you don't have to fix yourself?
I think it was just, I think the more I did, the more I talked to people and just basically just openly talked about my experiences and sort of that helped take away any myths that plus size women are either lazy or unhealthy or, you know, they wouldn't be interested in athletics. The more I just openly talked about it and didn't really give a crap is, you know, sort of, I think what happened, it wasn't an experience where it was like a flip of a switch or anything like that. I didn't kind of have that one aha moment, but this is sort of indirectly related to it. I did though for a while, feel like, you know, that because I was plus size, I was special in a way that I had special challenges. And the way that I can best explain it was, when I would do a triathlon and say the bike course had a lot of rollers in it, you know, I would struggle going up those hills. Sometimes I had to get off my bike and walk part of it because I just couldn't, I geared down as far as I could and I just, you know, couldn't get up them. But then on the way down the hill, I would like fly past people, right? And I felt guilty then that, and then I, you know, I'm telling my coach James and I'm like, oh, I feel so guilty. And he's like, Krista, he's like, don't, he's like, there are, everything balances out in a race, right? But what I also realized too, because I have been lighter since I did my first triathlon, was it actually doesn't really matter what you weigh, in the sense that just because I'm heavier doesn't mean that my experience is harder than the person who, let's say, weighs 100 pounds less than I do. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard regardless of your weight. You know, like, a hill is a hill. It's going to be hard no matter what. And so I think for me, I had a bit of a pity party for a while, thinking that, you know, oh, I'm special or it's challenging for me. But after a while, I was kind of like, you know what? A hill is a hill. It's hard for everybody. Doesn't matter, you know, your size, your weight. It's always going to be hard. So that for me, kind of coming to that realization in a way, sort of normalized the whole experience. And maybe that was sort of the moment when I was like, yeah, I'm an athlete and I have challenges just like all the other athletes. I'm not different in that way. We all have the same challenges.
Do you ever get jitters before a race?
Oh God, yes. Oh my God. I've been known to have like dry heaves. I get so worked up about it. I remember I did a sprint race in Ohio many years ago, and my friend Joe, who was my coach when we did triathlon camps down in Arizona and Florida, I remember him turning to me. He's like, are you okay? You look kind of like pale and, you know, are you going to be sick? I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm fine. But I do, I get really like intense about it. I almost go from one extreme of being like intense and like super focused to, I've had the other where I'm like, oh, I'm a little tired today. Maybe I won't give it all. But you know what? I've trained a lot to be at the race. I paid money to rent my car. I got up early to be there and drive. So yeah, I never want to not cross the finish line. I think there's one race I didn't cross the finish line because my back was really bothering me and I had to make a call of, will this injure me any further, or, you know, and so I pulled out of that one. And then I had another one where it rained badly and I got a little scared about the wet roads. But other than that, you know, I mean, those are all learning experiences too, right? I think that was a big part, is that I've also had a bike crash. I had a race where the rider coming back in from the bike course, when he turned, he didn't stay close to the right edge. He came out swinging wide and we had a head-on collision. And so all these little experiences, they kind of mentally play with you, and you know, you get a little scared or you become a little bit more timid. And those are things that I had to work through as well.
Now, that bike crash sounds like a big injury. Did you get really hurt?
You know what? I didn't have any physical damage to myself or my bike, but mentally it was a bit of a jarring experience. But I went back and I did that race the next year just to ensure that I wasn't letting it control me. Do you know what I mean? Like the fear of that course, I didn't want it to, you know, be held over my head. And so I went back and I did it to you know, prove to myself that, yeah, like, You can still do it, Krista. Don't worry about it.
Training as an athlete, we just talked about this injury that you had, but training as an athlete also means getting injured as an athlete sometimes. What things do you do to prevent injuries?
You know, I'm this is probably one of the weaker areas that I have, is I don't stretch enough. And so I tend to get, I have very tight calves. I have chronically tight calves. And that can have impacts with plantar fasciitis or tendonitis in my ankle. So for me, I just need to constantly be stretching all the time. That's probably the biggest aspect for me.
You participate in so many sports, though. So why is cross training so important to you?
I like the cross training because I wasn't very involved in sports when I was a teenager. I wanted to. I really enjoy playing, basketball and volleyball back when I was in my teens. And when I hit high school, I dropped gym. It was like the first, it became a compulsory course and I dropped it. But I did like the team sports, but I wasn't good enough to be on an official team sport. I was always sort of okay with regards to intramural types of sports, the more, recreational sports. But it just never materialized. And I guess for me, cross-training is a way of feeling like, it's me sort of trying to accomplish my own Athlete of the Year award that I guess I'm envious of what I saw other people go through high school and earn at the end of the year, because they dabbled in everything. They're great at football, great at track or whatever. I think there's a part of me that wants to be Athlete of the Year, but I want to be Athlete of the Year every year for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, you are naturally competitive, but you weren't participating in sports in high school. Were you competitive in your academics, or did that competition play out in some kind of other way in high school?
Yeah, I don't know that I would have labeled it competition. I think I thought of it more as just a strong work ethic. I did do well in school in terms of grades. I graduated from high school early enough so that I could work a little bit more, get myself ready for university. So there were those aspects, but I was also the type, and I still am the type of person who also likes to challenge the status quo. Long time ago when I was a teenager and I was working at a retail store, it's a store called Canadian Tire. It's a department store. It has automotive and housewares and the sports department. And I wanted to work in the sports department, but there had never been women working in the sports department. And I didn't need the job, but when I went in for the interview, I said, "This is where I want to work." And they're like, "Oh, well, we're not sure there's any openings." I'm like, "Okay, well, you let me know, because there's nothing else I'm interested in." And I wanted to change. I wanted to shake things up and let companies know that, women are capable of working in other areas, that, we don't need to be part of the traditional roles. So things like that started even when I was a teenager, sort of always wanting to, challenge the status quo. And I guess it's the same with the sports, right? That's why I did the spinning certification, because I wanted to teach classes. And I would sub for other people, and I would come into the class, and people would say, "Oh, do you know who's subbing the class today?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." And I'd like to sub ready, and then all of a sudden, I'd like start the class, and people would be like, "Oh my god, I didn't know it was her!" Right? So I do. I kind of like to stir the pot a little bit, but it's part of, I guess my way of wanting people to maybe open their minds a little bit and see what's possible, not only in themselves, but also to be open to, other people, and that what you see is not necessarily what it is, right? It's the whole don't judge a book by its cover, right? You really don't know anything by looking at somebody and who they are and what they're capable of and what their accomplishments are and what their challenges are.
True. What feeling inside of you inspired you to do your first triathlon?
I was very much in that mindset of wanting to prove to others. Now for sure, I do it for myself, but then I definitely wanted to prove to others. There was a flyer in my gym talking about the triathlon club that actually my coach was heading up. And I thought about it. I'm like, I'm not sure. But there was a charity bike ride that was happening in a couple months. And it was a 25-kilometer one. And I was like, maybe I'll just take this one step at a time and do the bike ride first. So I did the bike ride, accomplished it. I felt great. I didn't struggle feeling like there's always challenges, but I didn't struggle through the whole thing. And I'm like, that was 25K. I can do the super sprint. I know how to ride. I know how to swim. I can always walk the run portion, and I'm going to do it. And I picked the last race of the season to maximize my training time. And I went and I did it. And I trained for it. But I was exhausted for days after. Like, I've never felt like that before. But I also loved it. And I mean, I remember when I started the swim and I went out and I was doing just a few breaststrokes, trying to like, trying to almost get my heart rate down because I was like so excited. I started like laughing uncontrollably because in my head I was thinking, holy shit, I can't believe I'm doing this, right? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, and I remember I was just like, okay, you got to calm down, right? And get in the rhythm. And I got in the rhythm and I did my swim and I came out. I rode my bike. Again, I had a big hill and I had to get off and walk it. And I remember like, oh God, this is really hard. I can't believe I thought I could do this. But, you know, I finished it because even on the bike, on the run course, I walked it, but it was like, this whole course was hilly. It's probably one of the most challenging courses out there. I can't believe I picked that one as my first one, but I finished it and I was so proud of myself. I mean, I would take personal time out of my schedule to go and train. And a lot of times you're doing it by yourself. The spin classes were great because my soon-to-be coach was there teaching them and I could chat with him. There were other people around there. I get to feed off of, you know, the motivation and energy that's in the room. But when you're swimming or you got to go for a walk or you got to do the longer bike rides, a lot of times you're by yourself. And the fact that I did that and then did the race, I was really proud of myself that I found something that I can be athletic in and I don't have to worry about letting down a team, but there's lots of opportunity for me to grow and improve and get stronger. And I loved it. And I did that race at the end of August, early September. By January, I had bought my road bike. And by February, I was in Florida at a training camp. And all I had done was one triathlon. So that just goes to show you like how much I would love the experience that I was willing to like take this brand new bike that I hadn't even ridden yet, take it down to Florida and do a training camp with a bunch of people that I've never met.
Has excelling as a triathlete caused you to excel in other aspects of your life?
I think other aspects of my life have always been strong, career-wise, academics,
You're like an A personality.
I am a bit of an A personality. Yeah. So this is an area that was probably, I wanted to grow. So I don't know so much that it's affected other areas, but I think I'm probably just more balanced overall and feeling confident in many areas of my life.
Okay. Tell us about Born Terrain. How can people get in contact with you and what the beautiful things that you're doing over there?
Sure. So our website is bornterrainathletics.com, and that's R-E-I-G-N, as in like reigning over yourself. And of course, we are part of all the social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. You can get to those places all through our website. And our goal is to educate and motivate. But a big part of it has been for the last couple of years to celebrate, because there really isn't another platform or a media outlet there that is solely dedicated to fitness and athletics and showcasing women in their sports. And by showcasing them and telling their stories, I hope that it inspires other people to, you know, find the courage within to just give it a try. You know, if you've always wanted to, you know, figure skater, you've always wanted to play volleyball, like there's nothing stopping you other than yourself. And the best way to get into it is to break it down into small steps, you know. First, talk to some people who do it. Maybe talk to some coaches. Go out to a practice session. And, you know, like it doesn't have to go, you don't have to go from 0 to 10 with regards to your sports or activities. I am a huge supporter of volunteering at events, because I think that in itself gives you the deepest insight as to what it's like on race day with all the energy and talking to other athletes and how they feel after they complete their races. So that to me has always been a great strategy of, you know, wanting to dive into unleashing that inner athlete. And so we really try and talk about all the different sports, you know, where you can get the equipment for those sports that fits a plus size body. we recently featured a woman who talked about roller derby, and she gave some great tips on the different types of wheels that need to be considered for, you know, depending upon your weight and how your weight impacts the wheels and, you know, if they'll wear down faster or if you're going to get a smoother ride. So we really try and include all the aspects of the sport. So the equipment you need, the type of athletic clothing you might need. Things to consider in terms of races is how much time you get to race. I think there's nothing worse than feeling like you're coming to the, you know, you're about to cross the finish line, but there's no finish line because they've torn it down already. I don't care about being last, but I want to be recognized that I am coming in and I want to cross the finish line and I want to be granted my medal just like all the other tens of thousands of athletes before me. And I've had some bad experiences like that. And I get that there are probably some legal reasons as to maybe why they have to shut down streets and things like that sooner. But, you know, I always suggest find a race that has a race time that is longer than your projected race time so that you really get the full experience of what it means to race as an athlete.
Did you get your medals?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Because that's what's important. You must get your medals.
You know, there's lots of badges of honor as an athlete. I was having a conversation with a woman the other day about this. There's the race number that's written on the side of your arm or maybe on the back of your calf. There's your race bib. There's your participation medal. There's your race photos. These are all things that I call badges of honor that people proudly love to display on the day of the race or afterwards, depending upon, you know, when you're getting stuff, right? And they're all very important. And so, yes, I definitely like to collect my medals.
But thank you so much for joining, and I really appreciate you for being on the show. And I know a bunch of people are going to start reaching out to you from the show to Born to Reign, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. I appreciate the opportunity. Lots of great questions, and I hope that your listeners enjoyed my stories and hopefully some tips and information and they move forward on unleashing their inner athlete.